Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me.
Yes, I am.
Ring bang dana day. Dang dana day.
That's it.
A revolution. Yeah. I'm on fight of revolution. Ring dang dana day. Dang dana day. A revolution. Revolution day. Dang, 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 dang. Dang, 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 dang.
Check it.
Some corporate people don't come out and them a make big speech, but poor people the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feeling the heat. Red country. Why, oi, red country. Why, they get so far top down, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, them broke your bone with stone. Why? So a revolution, yeah. I'm on side of revolution, coming in a Babylon, yeah. A revolution. Government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, young your stuff, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. So no more big speech. Time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of suffering. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang da da dang, dang da da bang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but whoremongers, idol worshippers, them a sorcerers. Yo, you better come down off of your pumpkin gripe. Stop taking poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tool. Just fool. Sure. Cause a revolution, yeah. We're going to see the revolution. Ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution. Ding da dang da dang da dang. No matter how them a come out and a kidnap them teeth, yet the poor man the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a playing speech. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on fire for revolution. Ring dang 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 dang. A revolution.
Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. Oof. Tonight I want to, I got some more. Tonight I want to talk to, well, I just basically want to listen to what this brother has to say. And I think it's important that we listen to a brother like this. I've heard him on numerous occasions, and he's been on the show before. And I want him to give his perspective and prospective about the relationship between the young and the old, sophomores and the elders, our people. But I want to play this clip first. I was going to play a few others. Let me see if this one runs. been having a problem trying to go ahead and put these clips on, but this one, let's set the tone for this.
They ask stupid questions. They never shut up. They never listen. They think they know everything, when in truth, they know next to nothing. Everyone thinks they're cute, but they almost never are. They're loud. They're rude. They don't know how to eat properly. They smell like shit. The really smart ones can take 3 or 4 years to learn how to wipe their own asses. If they can't find a way to eat something, they'll find a way to break it. They take over your life. There's no reason they should ever be in a movie theater, but they're always there. If you hit them, you go to prison. If you kill them, you go to the gas chamber. They cannot play baseball well. They like Batman and Superman, but not for the right reasons. They think Yoda using a lightsaber was a great idea. You can't enjoy sex while they're in the house. They do stupid things like throw rocks at hornets' nests or wrestle in poison ivy and then expect you to help them. They like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck but have no idea who Chuck Jones was. They think black and white movies are boring. You buy them things and they talk to their friends using phrases like "I bought," talking about the shit that you bought for them. They think their love is payment enough. It isn't. They like horrible music. They like whichever wrestlers are being pushed instead of the really talented ones. They take baths instead of showers. They pee in their beds. They cry over everything. They don't take no for an answer. They wave at truck drivers. They ruin the experience of visiting libraries, museums, and planetariums. Whenever there's some tragic accident at the zoo, it's almost always a kid's fault. They have to have their own special seats to ride in the car. No matter where they may be, they can always find a way to get themselves filthy. Their attention spans must be measured in microseconds. They get bored easily. When they get bored, they seek stimulation by destroying expensive things. They pull buttons off things. They put their fingers in wall sockets. You have to watch them constantly. They depend on you to feed them, teach them, protect them, then grow up to hate your fucking guts. They're afraid of cooties and harmless insects, but not afraid of guns. They choose their meals based on what the accompanying shitty toy prize will be. They like The Simpsons, but they don't get it. When one disappears, all us grown-ups have to go out and look for them. Why not make all the other kids go look? For some reason, it's always worse when something awful happens to a kid. Like an adult being abducted and murdered is only kinda tragic. If they drown, somehow it's your fault. Most of them will grow up to be poor drivers. Most of them are too small and weak to get any real work out of. They lack perspective. You spend a fortune sending them to the dentist, then they grow up and stop going and their teeth fall out anyway. They'll probably live longer than I will. They're expensive. They suck at carnival games, so they expect you to win shit for them. They're a bunch of show-offs. They're always 10 times more annoying than usual when you're on the phone or have company over. You can't take them anywhere or leave them at home. When one of them snaps and shoots his teacher and a bunch of his classmates, it ruins violent movies and video games for the rest of us. They don't eat their vegetables. They're all shameless beggars and kiss asses. They don't read well. They're terrible singers. They stole Halloween. Subtlety is lost on them. They don't get jokes. They think Christmas is all about them. They treat the slightest discomfort or inconvenience as a crisis of apocalyptic dimension. If they don't go to school, you get in trouble. They giggle at words like shit and fuck and cocksucker, regardless of context. They don't look good wearing glasses. Sometimes they're hard to see before it's too late. During arguments, they resort to name-calling far too readily. They all sound alike on the phone. They take easily to racism. The wallets and belts they're forced to manufacture in Honduran sweatshops are of inferior quality. They can't keep up unless you walk really, really fucking slow. They open books and look for the pictures first. They get to piss in your face while you change their diaper, and you're not even supposed to get mad. If you go out Friday night and get drunk, they can't come pick you up. They poke dogs in the eyes. They consume everything and produce nothing. They are without dignity. They kept Full House in production for 8 goddamn years. They can't take a good beating. They speak openly of their bowel movements. They take everything for granted.
Well, welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. So, here at Blog Talk Radio. So, young brother, you there?
Hotep, Hotep.
Hotep, how you doing, brother?
I'm wonderful. How you doing there, Kev Rob?
I'm all right. What'd you think about what you just heard, man? And go ahead and just chime right on him how you feel.
Well, I'm pretty sure that was well, he was talking about young people, of course. And,
yeah.
I feel that kind of sets the basis of what I would like to talk about tonight. Because one thing I was telling you earlier is one thing we can do is we can't blame children for adult mistakes. You know, a lot of the things that that you mentioned was due to the adult because, you know, adult is the first teacher. 90% of the brain develops between the age of 1 and 5. So how that child comes out is precipitated upon how the mother and both fathers teaches that child. So we definitely have to look at parents, how we are teaching our children and what we are teaching our children, because that's the product we're going to get. You know, just like an apple. If an apple grows on a bad tree, it's going to be a bad apple. But if an apple grows on a good tree, it's going to be proper nutrients and so forth, then that apple will be a good apple. And that's the same thing with our youth. We have to teach our youth at a young age to be positive. We have to teach our youth at a young age to do good things. And as they grow up, they will take those concepts with them into their adulthood. So this is what's going on in our community. We see all the crime that's going on, all the violence. And we talk about our youth. I heard our youth like to hold guns and so forth. Well, our youth, they see a lot of this stuff when they're young, and this is exactly why they do what they do. Our parents are not properly teaching our youth. In order to have a proper home, you have to have a mother and a father in the home. 24 million youth in America live without a father in their house. So therefore, they're not getting the proper teaching from both their mother and their father. And this is why we are lacking. So, you know, basically, I think what he was saying, he was basically speaking as any adult would speak. You understand what I'm saying? From an adult perspective. And a lot of adults, they might not feel the exact same way that he feels, but they maybe can take some of what he said and say, you know, that's kind of true. And we have to look at these things. The child grows up to be what the child is taught to be. The child might say, I want to be a doctor, but going up to the community and see no doctors, they see no lawyers, they see none of these great things that they want to be, but they do see the pimps, they do see the pushers, they do see the gangbangers, they do see the drunkies and the winos and the clucks. So these are the things that they even though they might not want to be, they forced to be due to that community. We have to look at these things. We have to look at these things as adults. A lot of our adults talk about crime. Well, where does the crime stem from? Where does the crime actually come from? We have to understand that the same children that's committing these crimes are our children. These are not the police children. These are not the Caucasian children. They're not the Arab children. These are our children that is running wild, crazy, and ratchet. So if we want to control, we have to begin to take back our community, but begin to take back the minds of our youth. It starts at a young age. It starts with mother and father, and we're going to teach the child how to be a proper child. That's when it starts. Anything else that stems from that, it might happen, you know? You understand what I'm saying, Kev Rob?
Yeah, I got you. I was going to ask you a quick question, though. Do you think that culture plays a part in it, and what is our culture?
I definitely think that that culture plays a part in the youth. But see, the thing about culture is, since we have been westernized due to colonization and due to things changing, we don't have a culture as black people anymore. We talk about a conscious community, but there is no conscious community. Tell me a place where I can go live at where conscious people live at. Tell me some stores where I can go in where conscious people is working in these stores. Show me grocery stores. Show me schools where I can go in where they teach African culture. There is no community, and that's what's wrong with us. We have lost our culture, so we have no culture anymore, so we don't know how to teach our youth. So therefore, we lack.
Mm.
You know, let's think about it. Hello?
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, think about it. We've lost our culture. We've lost the way of living. There's no way that a child should make it past a certain age without going through certain tasks, trials, and tribulations. This is something that we used to keep up back in ancient culture. We knew that in order for a child to even go past a certain age, that they will have to do certain things. They will have to learn certain morals. we cannot just teach a child reading. We knew that we cannot just teach a child math because these were only the basics of life. We had to teach the child morals. And when a child learned morals, they will learn how to treat people. They will learn how to do things. They will learn how to even treat themselves, how to work with their body. We've lost all the concepts of that, so therefore we are losing right now as a people. In order to regain back our culture, we first have to regain back our minds. Our minds have been taken. Our minds have been stolen. A lot of people are comfortable working their 9-to-5 jobs, comfortable driving their nice cars, comfortable going to the Arab, getting their gyros and their Italian beefs. We are comfortable with the way reality is, and we don't want to see things change. Our community has got comfortable, our youth running around and rampant. Our community have got comfortable with turning on the news and seeing nothing but negativity. So you said culture, Chef Rob. I see no culture.
You know, what is morals? You mentioned, you know, what is morals to you or people that you go get you encounter? What is morally right? Or define morals for people in your group.
Morals, and my definition for of course my people, morals will be the proper teachings. Morals will be being able to tell a child how to be a child, being able to tell a child about the child body, being able to tell a child this is what you're going through when you're going through it. Morals is being able to teach a child this is why our culture do what our culture does. Morals is being able to teach a child this is why our culture eats what we are supposed to eat. All these things come along with morals. See, but for our younger generation, since we've lost morals, certain things we don't go about no more. We don't teach our youth that. A lot of our parents was not taught how to be proper parents, so therefore they cannot teach. A lot of our youth weren't taught to be proper. A son was never taught how to be a son. A daughter was never taught how to be a daughter, and this is why we are lacking right now because of that. We're not teaching, you know. And the main morals is to teach how to be. If I'm being a son, how do I be a son? What things do I do? This is not something that I just innately know. This is something that I'm supposed to be taught. And this is something that we're not teaching our youth. We're not giving them those proper morals so that they can know this is why I do what I do. And that's why a lot of our youth don't want to get down with our culture. A lot of our youth do not connect themselves with Africa or Kemen or Al-Kibalan, whatever people want to call it. A lot of our youth do not connect themselves with slavery and the culture of that. You know why? Because we haven't taught them the morals of why these things happen. We haven't taught them the morals of why we should be learning about these things and why we should keep our heads into these things. This is something that we have lost as parents. Our parents had no morals. So therefore, they weren't able to teach the youth morals. And this is exactly why we're seeing what we're seeing today. Black people getting the highest in everything, HIV, AIDS, mass incarceration, the highest in high blood pressure, the highest in cancer. This is why we're seeing so many things today because we're not teaching more. We're not teaching people how to be. So, therefore, they're doing the wrong thing.
I heard you kind of mention, like, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, there's a big disassociation with Africa and African history. Who should make that first move, or should we make a move, or what do you think that you should go ahead and let people know, or should you go ahead and rely on your elders? You need to go ahead and start giving me that message.
Okay, I feel that we shouldn't be relying on our elders right now. We should be relying on action. A lot of us have let go of our spiritual powers, and we became comfortable with thinking as a human and acting like a human and forgetting the natural powers that we have as black people, forgetting who we are as black people, forgetting the energies that are housed inside of our bodies. What we need to be doing is we need to be trying to figure out the action that we need to implement right now. A lot of us, see, the ancestors are mad at a lot of us, and the ancestors are allowing a lot of us to bump our heads because a lot of us really don't. A lot of us can do more to help our people right now, but we're not. A lot of, like I was mentioning earlier, Chef Rob, a lot of us are comfortable with what we are doing. So the first step that we need to be taking is towards action. See, my thing is the younger generation. So I feel that if we care about the future, if we want the future to be any type of good way, that we have to care about the younger generation because the younger generation is the future. As elders, we need to be looking at how can I at least if you're a person that's 20 years old, you should at least have 3 to 4 young people. If you're a male, you should at least have 3 or 4 young males, mentees that you have under you that you are teaching, that you are giving the positive information. Also, if you're a female that's 20 or above, you should have at least 3 young females under you that you are teaching. We have to begin to put in action and start reaching our hand out to help some of our people, because a lot of our youth, they want the knowledge and information, but it's nowhere around for them to find. So we have to be, we have to put it in their faces. We have to use a replica. We have to use a little bit of what the Black Panthers use. We have to get back out on the streets. People have to actually see us. If you ask your grandma right now, she gonna say she saw the Black Panthers passing out pamphlets and on the streets and things like that. So we have to get in the youth's face. We have to get where the youth can see us. The gangbangers are on the block. The thugs is on the block. The pimps is on the block. The pushers is on the block. The only people that's not on the block is nobody doing nothing positive. The churches stay inside the churches. The people in the mosque, Farrakhan just are coming out, but they're not out enough. So we have to get out, and we have to allow youth to see us. This is when action will begin to be implemented. We also have to come up with strategies, because we have no strategies in what we want to do. A lot of us, we want to see this big mass change. We want to just see change happen all around the world in 30 days. It's not going to happen like that. It starts small. It starts with you first in your community, with you reaching out to help somebody, and then allowing them to get the will to reach out and help somebody, and allowing them to get the will to reach out and help somebody. This is called a ripple effect. This is when things begin to happen. If we are just comfortable with knowing the information, and a lot of us are, a lot of us are comfortable with just knowing this information, that's why we are lacking, because we're not putting in any action. I think the first step that we need to be working towards is action.
Action. Okay, so that means getting out in the street, in your opinion? You don't, because I know, well, you don't see the NAACP. I just seen the second office of NAACP in Chicago, man. I was shocked. A little bitty office. And I never seen nobody in there. Went past a few times. So you don't see them on the street. So if you see some of these other cats in the street, do you think that would affect some of the youth?
I can hear. Can you say that one more time, please?
So if you see somebody, look, I was trying to say, I have seen the NAACP office, the second one in Chicago, but they're not in the street. And do you think, what kind of effect it would have on the youth if you seen some of them out there? Would things stop immediately overnight? Would they go ahead and shut the gangbangers out and the other hustlers out there?
Well, nothing's going to happen immediately. It took 500 years to put us in this position. So nothing,
but I'm talking about with, I'm talking about youth. That's what I'm talking about, from what you see.
You say that one more time. I can't hear you.
I want you to tell me from what you see from your peers. That's what I'm trying to get.
Okay. Basically, what I see is if the youth see somebody that's doing something positive, that might not work them to seeing one person. But if they see multiple people doing something positive, then they'll do it. It's the monkey-see-monkey-do thing. A lot of us, we don't do things because not a lot of people are doing them. Let's look at fashion, for instance. People were wearing tight pants and tight shirts, but when the rappers started to wear it and then the rappers started making the people in the community wear it, that made it more comfortable for people to start doing it. So when you see more of something and you see more people doing that more so makes you want to do it. So that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have to, as individuals, not as, you know, the NAACP or anything like that, but as individuals, we have to get out here and we have to be dedicated to talking to our youth. It's not just about getting on the streets and standing out there.
Okay.
But it's actually.
Okay, check this out.
What?
Okay, so are you telling me that from your peers that the music industry has a lot of influence on a lot of these young people?
Oh, most of them. Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How big an influence?
But media period has a big influence on the younger generation. And that's exactly why they're doing a lot of what they're doing. I talk about trap music a lot. I don't know if a lot of elders know about this, but trap music is the new music. You got R&B, you got pop, you got rock, you got rap. But trap music is the new music of this paradigm that's being shaped right now. And what trap music does is it traps the minds of the youth And the music is actually called trap music. People say Nicki Minaj got a song called I Bees in the Trap, and Gucci Man always talk about in his songs, I'm trapping. Well, the trap house, the reason why they call it the trap house is because when you're inside of it, you're trapped. There's no way to go. If the police ever come, if anybody ever comes, you're trapped inside that house. So this is what the higher power order saw to do. They say, you know what? Because in the 90s, it was a little bit of revolutionary. You know, you had Tupac, you had Biggie, you had, people that were speaking positive, and they were still thuggish and gangbanging, but it was still positivity in the music. And they saw that if they continue to let that go the way that it was going, that blacks would actually take over the music industry. So what they did was they hired drug dealers like Jeezy. They hired drug dealers like Gucci Mane to push their enlisted poison. And through the music, you would see now them talking about gangs, drugs, guns, violence, pills. They get this new drug out called Molly now that's being pushed through the music a lot. And this is just mass media, period. What mass media does is mass media gets in your face. That means they're going to play the same music every day, 24/7. Repetition is the mother of all teachers. So like I always tell people, you'll never forget, at McDonald's, we love to see you smile, because that's something that's been pushed inside of your mind. You'll never forget, for quality windows, sizing doors, called 866. These are things that's pushed inside of our minds because of repetition. So, you know, this is why media has control on our youth right now, and we don't. It's because we don't get in our youth's face like that. We don't constantly push things in our youth head. And that's why I say we have to start at a young age. You can't try to teach somebody to learn at the age of 13 or 14. Their brains have already developed. They have already learned their perspectives on life and probably have figured out what they want to do. So we have to look at teaching the youth.
When Rush Limbaugh called that lady a slut, what made him retract what he said? And Rush Limbaugh is a very well-paid and highly respected and known media person. So what made him retract what he said?
Could you run back one more time for me about what he said? I couldn't hear that.
When Rush Limbaugh called this one lady a slut, I think it was over a discussion about the government paying for birth control or abortion. Somebody may correct me on that.
Because birth control.
Birth control. So what made him apologize and retract what he said?
Was it a black lady?
No, it's a white woman.
I'm not too sure about that. I don't really know too much about the topic. I didn't really too much hear about that.
But you were talking about how media basically, I guess you can say, is running amok and is putting messages out there to cause black children to act inappropriate. But, you know, I say all the time, what caused Rush Limbaugh to retract what he said when he started losing advertising? He lost 35 advertisers.
Because women were in charge of a lot of those companies. Women didn't get together on that.
Right. But he lost 35 advertisers. Now, if blacks had businesses, more so than what they do have, and those businesses was advertising on media concerns, do you think that media would get away with what you're talking about now? It's not. We're talking as if media is going to do something out of morals. Media don't do anything out of morals. It's money that rules in the United States. If you want media to stop disrespecting you, then own businesses that's buying advertisement and threaten to pull your advertised dollars if they don't do like you think is appropriate.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely something that we can do. But what we want to do is, like, I think a lot of us are trying to see big mass changes, and that's not really something that we're going to see. A lot of us, you know, because things are so messed up, and from learning the information and learning the position that black people are actually in, we want a right now change, and that's totally understandable. But when I was speaking of, pertaining to media, I was just talking about how media basically is put there to control, period. Because, I mean, like I said, if we, I'm going to go back to the music, and, you know, I can go talk about television and TV shows and things like that, but if we look through the music and we look at the radio station, 107.5, and let's look at their lineup of the music that they play. Now, they can play any song that they want to at the radio station, but they pick certain songs that they push and that they play all day long.
Well, they I understand that, but do they have commercial breaks?
I can't hear you.
Do they have commercial breaks?
Yeah, they do have commercial breaks. Yeah,
what businesses are advertising on those commercials? Are they black businesses?
No, sir.
Well, then, if they're not black businesses, then they're going to run amok when it comes to the black community. So, as I said before, when black businesses start advertising with media, then it's just like the ADL, Defamation League. What do they call that? The Anti-Defamation League, which represents the Jewish community. Say something wrong about Jews and see what happens. So when blacks get to the point, whereas they put some emphasis on creating businesses to control the dollars that's spent in the, what better than that, businesses not only just retail but also manufacturing production, whereas they control the markets of those things that they consume in their population centers. See, it's these population centers that creates all these ears that's listening to the media. That's how they get their ratings. So if blacks control the markets there with their own businesses that's paying for the advertisement on media, I guarantee you media will stop doing derogatory things to black community that we like to always throw out there with no solutions whatsoever. Yes, they're going to abuse you and take advantage of you. I don't blame you. I would, too, because other people are paying for their advertising spots.
Exactly. Could you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Go on there, brother. Got something to say?
Oh, okay. I was just making sure I was out of my car. I was making sure I was back in. But yeah, but the brother got some truth to what he's saying. But it's just about our people actually gonna go after those advertising spots, and is it gonna get them? And then when we go after them, what are we gonna be advertising? You know, because unfortunately, right now we're not in control of the media, and unfortunately, right now we don't look like we're gonna be getting in control of the media.
I disagree with that to a point, because Rush Limbaugh signed a $400 million contract with Clear Channel. Clear Channel controls your hip hop, your rhythm and blues, your gospels, and your rock and roll stations.
Exactly.
It's your gospel stations that your churches buy, your black churches, your Baptist churches buy time, where the preachers are on there hooping and hollering, falling out on the floor and everything. We know what goes on with your hip hop and your rhythm and blues station. So blacks do have some control over what Rush Limbaugh says. All they gotta do is start pulling their advertising dollars on these gospel stations and these other stations when these people lash out and have a slip of the tongue and say something negative about your society.
Exactly. And that's one thing that we have to do. We have to rally together as black people, and that's when it comes to putting in action. We have to rally together so that more people, because, you know, one person is not going to do it by themselves. You know, it has to be multiple people that together to say that this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this change in this way. You know, and then if advertising will be the way that people want to do that, then so be it. But that's what I'm saying is we have to find things that we can do as individuals to make change. Because it's not going to be a big drastic change. We're just not going to see the gangbangers just pop off the corner. We're not going to see the drugs in the community just stop being flooded, because this is the way that the higher power order lives. The only way they can live is to be a parasite and to live off us. And this is what is going on now. So, you know, what's going on in our community, when they look at it, they're happy about it. This is, they want it to happen. And this is the only way that they can continue to live, is if things are happening like this. So if we're talking about, you know, address like that, we're going to have to cut down the whole system. But change or when, you know, anything like that, we have to look at things that we can do as individuals to make change. Because unfortunately, the average brother don't want to come together with another brother. There's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of animosity that we have with each other to where if we don't, if a brother is doing something or saying something, then go against the brother. You know, if the brother have a, this brother might have a different strategy, you know, but, and I might have a different strategy. So now we at odds because, well, I want to do it this way and you want to do it that way. These are the kind of things that we're arguing over. When people go to war, when we're talking about war, you have a person, job might be to sit on top of the building, he's a sniper. His objective, I mean, his strategy is to sniper. That's what he do, he shoots. You might have three more people. They might be coming in the front door to bust in to go get the girl outside the front. We just use this as an example. They strategy might be to come in and get the girl out the front. You might have three more people. They might be back at command base telling them what to do. Everybody has different strategies, but everybody's same objective would be to go in there and get whoever out there is supposed to save. This is the thing that we have to put in the aspect. Everybody has different strategies, but our same objective is the upliftment of black people. Same objective is the upliftment of black people. You can start doing what you're doing. I can start doing what I'm doing because at the end of the day, once we hook up, things will be much more better.
Well, a report came out the other day said that black unemployment has increased up to 14%. Sooner or later, blacks will understand that government is not going to help them to have a decent unemployment rate. We're going to either do one or two things. Either go back to slavery where we had 100% employment, or we're going to start hiring our own. But, you know, I keep hearing this thing about come together. Do you know that trains pull away from the train station all day long and airplanes take off from the airport half full? They go ahead and do what they got to do. How much of a coming together do we need to have? 70%, 80%, 90%, 95%, 99%? We had some brothers here in St. Louis and robbed an armored car. And they got away with it. The only thing they've done wrong is one of the girls went to Walmart with a bundle of money with the bands on it. And see, she didn't go to the Walmart in the black neighborhood. She went to the Walmart in the white community and got to arguing with a clerk.
Wow.
So, but it wasn't no 100, 200, or 300. It was about four or five of them that got together and pulled it off. Now, I'm not condoning what they done. But I keep hearing folks saying that blacks don't come together. Last time, I just came from out on the streets, coming from a destination. I didn't see nothing in this community but black folks. In every place that they was congregated, they was together. Now, what they was together doing, you know, it wasn't none of my business. But I am sure that if you have something positive, especially when it starts centering around economics and putting people to work, because that is something that would bring black folks out. If you had a lecture on two sides of the street, one building you had black history and who built the pyramids, on the other side you was talking about health and wealth, I guarantee you the one that's talking about health and wealth would be full to the brim. If you start doing things that's interesting and that's tangible, something that's going to solve the problems of putting food on the table, paying child support, and things of that nature, I guarantee you, you will attract some people that would be willing to work toward those endeavors.
Most definitely. That's 100% right.
Hold on, brother. Let me take a quick break. I got to step away.
My girl, you tell me say you have something to tell me. No, you see me right now, please tell me. You can't deny my love. You can't deny my love. Sexy Italia, come sing to me.
Moment of honesty. Someone's gotta say to me tonight. Is it gonna be?
Make sure.
I'm gonna sit right here and tell you.
Whoa.
You give me a feeling that I
honey, me and me tonight of the night, everything up is sealed up. My love is like work hard, we want wheel up. You know you feel about me or the deal up. Me stand up on my two foot, then me no kneel up. You are acting like so you are heartless. My love is pure jealous. You tell me to your ex man, where are the box? I want to hear you want with Charlie Black. Please tell me,
baby, baby, I'm feeling good.
Planting the seed and trying to go ahead and deal with young brothers like this and go ahead and see but how we can plant that seed, how we can provide them with some of them tools necessary to go ahead and see this go forward. Because like you said, you know, a lot of his elders go ahead and drop the ball.
Well, yeah, and these young brothers need to confront these elders.
And get back to the game. It's a fumble, so you need to go and get on it and advance it for a touchdown.
Right. Young brothers need to confront these elders and ask them what did they
But how do you confront the elders when a lot of these cats want to go ahead and get upset when the young people get come at them and ask them a question? Like I played that clip earlier, man. This guy said he hates kids.
Well, you know, when you confront these elders, when they come out to you talking about voting, that's when you confront them.
One thing the brother hit on earlier that was real powerful. He mentioned something about economics. He was talking about offering jobs and things like that. Since I'm a youth myself, what I can say is, where we're missing that is a lot of the youth look at the position. They know subconsciously the position that we are in as a people. When I say subconsciously, I mean on the back end thoughts. They might not know exactly, but subconsciously, they know that we're in a messed up position because when they walk through the community, they see foreclosed homes, they go back from the Arabs, so forth and so on. So the thing about it is, subconsciously, they look at the elders like, y'all was supposed to put us in a better position than we are in now. And they begin to resent the elders subconsciously because they look at the community, they look at the housing. A lot of our youth grew up at homes where they don't have the proper hygiene product, where they don't have food in the refrigerator. They come home and sometimes it's not food in the refrigerator. It's a lot of young people that's raising young people. So they look at the outlook on the situation that they are put in and they begin to resent the elders. The only way that we can bring that back is we have to offer something for them, like brother was saying, economically. We have to offer jobs for them. We have to offer occupations. We have to offer hobbies for the youth, something to keep them busy. An old saying my mother used to always tell me, she said, idle mind is the devil's workshop. When you don't have anything to do, you'll be successful to do anything. If I'm a young cat, I'm 17 years old, I ain't got nothing to do. And Pookie and Rory come and say, hey, man, let's go rob this lady. Let's go do this. Let's go do something negative. I'm going to be more inclined to do the negativity because I don't have nothing to do. If I had something to do, then I won't be inclined to do that. And that's what's wrong. We have to offer something for the youth tangibly. We have to offer them jobs and occupations. A lot of our youth don't have the proper pocket change to keep themselves up. So therefore, they're lacking. When we become economically stable, and this is one thing I do agree with him on, when we become economically stable, then we can begin to offer things for our youth that's going to bring them back in. One thing that we all like is money. Everybody likes money because money takes care of things. Economics takes care of things. Currency is called currency because it's a current. It moves. It flows from your hand to my hand. So that's why we have to get the youth. We have to see, okay, what's going to be the way that we're going to pull them in? A lot of us, we say, if we use the money, it's going to only, it's not going to keep them. But the money will get them in. The knowledge and information that we teach is going to keep them. And that's how we have, when we look for strategies, we have to look for the best way to bring people in. If I want to get a fish, I have to put fish bait out. My objective will be getting that fish. So if I want to pull a youth in, I have to get something that they like, something that they want. A lot of our youth look at consciousness as being boring. A lot of us elders teach, are we really just boring? We don't know how to do fun things with our youth anymore. We don't know how to take our youth and get their minds deeply into something. This is something that we lost, and this is something as elders, and I'm not speaking as an elder because I'm not, but I'm speaking to the elders. This is something that we need to be looking forward towards doing. We have to do fun things. Our youth don't want to do something that's boring. That's why a lot of youth don't like going to church, because church is just true. A lot of youth are just to that. So we have to look for a way to present fun things to the youth and something that's going to get them some money in their pocket. This is the way we're going to pull them in, because just like a person, if I come to a job and I'm working to do something, I have to do that. So if the youth are coming somewhere and they being paid to learn information, they're going to have to learn that information. Now, what they do with it after they get it is up to them, but at least we will be talking the information, and that'll put them off on a better road to do something positive other than them just being taught the negativity in the community. This is why a lot of our youth, They go to be drug dealers, and they go to push drugs because they really don't have anything. I talk to a lot of young sisters, and, you know, I do. I talk to a lot of young people. I talk to a lot of young sisters. And a lot of our young sisters, you'd be surprised, but a lot of our young sisters don't have jobs. And some of them are at the point where they're willing to sell their bodies to get money. This is something that we have to look at. Our youth are starving. A lot of the violence in the community starts from a lack of. In the Bible it says, and I don't go by religious fairy tales, but in the Bible it says our people suffer for a lack of knowledge. But not only a lack of knowledge, our people suffer for a lack, period. A lot of our young brothers are getting locked up. When you look at the statistics on brothers getting locked up, they're getting locked up for home invasion. They're getting locked up for robbery. They're getting locked up for unlawful use of a weapon. And they get locked up for petty things, but for a lack. They get locked up for robbery because they don't have money, so therefore they got to break in people's cribs. They get locked up for home invasion because they got to break in people's cribs. They get locked up for carrying bangers because they lack the faith to actually go out and just walk by themselves, but they need a gun. We're lacking, and this is where the elders have to come in, that, and they have to begin to put things in place that's going to help the youth. It's something that we're not doing.
But, see, here's the point, young man. Elders are not going to do that. What you're going to have to do is force their hand. I'm going to tell you one of the simplest ways to do it is tell them you ain't voting for a damn Democrat. Matter of fact, young people, what would be ideal is you form some youth leagues, a whole conglomerate of you, and tell the Democrats that the elders going to come to you talking about voting, tell them, I ain't voting that way. Let's sit down, let's talk. That's the way you make them start voting some of them out. Then threaten to vote against their Social Security. Go to these school board meetings and start taking over and running your people for these school districts, board members, and start making those changes. You're going to have to revolt. Revolt in a way that they don't like. And I'm telling you, you start talking about, we ain't voting that way. You will get their attention. But if you expect for them to have sympathy for you so far, thus far, they want to blame you for everything. They want to blame young black girls for laying down, opening their legs, having babies. Well, hell, if you had something else for these young black girls to do, they wouldn't be laying down having babies. Exactly. You can't go stop young people from having sex.
And that's exactly why I say we have to create occupations, we have to create jobs, and we have to create hobbies for our youth to get them out of negativity. And this is the only way these things are going to work is us rallying together. A lot of our elders, what we have to look at is what kind of change do we want to see? And that's what we have to look at. We have to look at what change do we want to see. Do we want to see something drastic? Do we want to see a change where we are at? Because change starts with you. Change starts with you as an individual. Before you can make anything change, you have to make sure that you as an individual are on the right path, on the right track, so that you can allow yourself to change other people's lives. And this is what's going on, especially a lot of our, a lot of our elders with our youth, they're not teaching them at home. They're not teaching them any morals because they were not taught any morals. So we have to start from a base. I know a lot of them, I'm a key fan, is a lot of us want to see a big drastic change, but it's just not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen like that right now. I believe divine intervention is on its way, but as of now, we have to start as individuals. We have to start, as parents, as talking to our youth, helping our youth out with certain things. Like the brother was saying, you can't stop females from having sex, but what you can do is, if you create something for them to do where they don't have to endeavor with that negativity, you might not stop them all around the board, but you might just have something for them to do, take them away from the negativity. We don't have nothing now. We don't have no jobs. Like the brother was saying, unemployment is real high, so we don't have any jobs to offer our youth. The school systems, it's a 50% dropout rate for black young males, so the schools are not really helping. And even if we get somebody in office, that still might not help because we have to look at who controls the system.
On those schools, when you become 18, you can vote. Start voting for school choice. You want full vouchers. You want charter schools. You want independent schools. You want homeschooling. You want good public schools. You want school choice. And I guarantee you, you would get somebody's attention. But see, if you go and see, when you become of age and you just fall, you become affecting a certain behavior, the way elders want you. You know the old saying, be seen but don't be heard. No, you be heard.
Be seen and not heard. Be seen and not heard.
As I said before, say I ain't voting that way. I want school choice, full vouchers, charter schools, and all that stuff. See, when you start talking like that, you start worrying those entities that has meant you no good for a long time. Those teachers, them teachers unions don't mean you no good. Them teachers use you as a commodity. They want you to come sit in that classroom, be quiet, listen, so they can get paid. They don't give a damn if you don't learn anything. If you don't learn anything, that's one less black person that's going to be competing against their children.
Exactly. Yep, you're right about that, brother. Right about that. You know?
I got another brother on the line. Brother Robert X, you there?
Yes, sir. Hotel.
How you feeling, brother? In a while.
Good. Yeah, brother. Been busy all over the place.
I know. What you think about what you just heard?
Well, you know, I agree with some of it, and, you know, some of it, you know, I have a different point of view. As a researcher, it teaches you to be succinct in pointing, you know, fingers at the problem. There's no accident that much of white supremacy is being governed by think tanks. Those apparatuses that basically dictate social policy. And I think it's no accident that we find ourselves in the position that we're in because we haven't had those think tanks. And where we have had them, they've been nothing more than addendums to the system of white supremacy in that they've been totally financed by the people who mean us no good. But let me say this. Let me ask Brother Young God, who I had the opportunity to meet. I don't know if he recalls, maybe about 6 months
you.
Ago.
Yes, sir. I met you at the house. Oh, I definitely remember you.
Yes, sir, when Brother Polite came to town to kind of drop some things on us, and as I said, I really appreciate that brother as well. But I think that we would be in error. And let me ask you, young guy, how much of an impact do you think you would have today if the internet wasn't here?
I mean, I feel, you know, as a young person, I would still have a lot of impact. We got to look at brothers like Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey came before there was any internet, and Marcus Garvey made an impact around the world because Marcus Garvey was diligent, and Marcus Garvey, he got out there and he made his word known. You know, a lot of people, you know, me personally, I'm not really too much of a social media person or internet person. I do have a website that I direct people to, but I don't really use the internet as you know, a vector. I got YouTube videos and stuff like that, but I'm learning now that, you know, I have to work with what's around me. I got a lot of young brothers around me who's lacking. I'm out here in the park with the young brothers. Why they slanging the dope and why they got the guns on them, and I'm going in some of the real bad neighborhoods. I do work in the Inglewood community. I do work in the Roseland community. I do work in the Grand Cross community. I do work in the Woodlawn community, and I'm in the parks and I'm talking to the young cats, and I'm seeing that so a lot of the things that we're talking about is really irrelevant when we have our youth out here, and the mentality that they have is so terrible, you know. And my job, me period, I'm starting to work with a lot of the youth by trying to offer them something, being able to get myself straight so that I can come and say, brother, I have a job for you. I have something positive for you. We have created a program so that you can come to the program and learn this information, or saying that I have a hobby for you, something that you can do that you can make a couple extra dollars where you won't have to go on the block and sell dope. These are the things, these are the impacts that I'm trying to make, and which I don't use internet to do none of this. These are the impacts that I'm trying to make with the youth and my community, because I feel that's what's most important. It's important that we start making change around us. That's why I was mentioning earlier, a lot of us get comfortable with the information, but we don't put in action. We don't actually go and grasp brothers and pull them up with us. We just be comfortable with what we got. And my job, I feel, is the younger generation. My job is to go out here and help brothers and sisters find and get on the right track and help them get on the right path, and not just be able to talk, but be able to offer them something with that. So me personally, I don't think that if the internet wasn't here, that I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I think if the internet wasn't here, things would be actually much better for us as a people, because a lot of things that's going on is happening because of Facebook and social media. I see a lot of brothers talking about getting into fights over things happening on Facebook. A lot of relationships is getting toned down due to social media. In my perspective, I don't think it'd be harder for me to do what I do without social media, because I don't too much use that as a vector to get my information across.
Excellent response, brother. Excellent response. But let me add this to what you just said. One thing that social media has allowed today is to turn whispers into screams, if you follow what I mean. Where you would normally be heard by a small number of people, it allows you now to expand your voice, not just locally and nationally, but globally. So it allows the whisper to become a scream. I can tell you, brother, because where you are now, I've been there, and I've done all those things that you're talking about. In the early 90s, we were attempting to address the problems based on the research where we saw where the system of white supremacy was heading. So what did we do? We knew that they were going to, in fact, begin to deindustrialize the country. So we began to talk about and attempt to put in place credit unions and corporate structures that would allow for us to move away from a system that basically defines you based on your credit score, and therefore would hire you or not hire you based on your credit score, would charge you outrageous interest rates based on your credit score, would determine, therefore, whether you were going to be successful in your life or not based on a phony credit score that's being put in place, understanding the realities that when black people lose their jobs, it will take them 3 to 4 times as long to get another one as their white counterparts. Therefore, inflicting upon them this system of debt slavery through the credit rating agencies, which are controlled by those same 5 or 6 banks. Okay? So we understood this. Now, what happened? We were fought tooth and nail by the people that many of us refer to as elders. And my philosophy is there's no fool like an old fool. And I'm almost 60, okay? But it don't mean that because you old, you learned something while you've been here. If you saw the movie Django, or Django Unchained, I thought it was telling that the oldest black person in the movie was the biggest Tom in the movie.
The biggest Tom, right? Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
Just because somebody is old or elderly doesn't necessarily follow that they are wise and are wisdom oriented. It could well mean that they've been subservient to everything that's gone on around them. So we need to be clear in terms of an elder and what is that? Just like we need to be clear on a youth and what is that? What I'm saying is there is no disconnect in terms of the propaganda that both the elders and the youth have been subjected to for millennia based on a system of white supremacy, which is predatory in nature.
Exactly.
So I agree with you, and we are doing this right now. I'm introducing some young people to some people that I'm working with tomorrow in terms of them purchasing buildings, and Chef Rob understands this as well, because all he's heard me talk about is basically putting young people in positions where they control the businesses that we set up with our assistance. I didn't say our control. I said they control with our assistance. And that we need to be removing all these other people across the country and on the planet, for that matter, because if you go to Africa, you'll see Asians are basically setting up economic shop. Because we haven't worked as a unit, okay? And I'm not saying everybody. One of the reasons that I came up with the corporate structure was because I understood clearly that it had its origin in Kemet in terms of the Council of Elders being nothing more than the board of directors. That's what I mean by advising the young people in terms of
the businesses that we set up to nurture them to make sure that the businesses grow. Now, we all know that we have a problem with black people supporting black businesses. If you own a stake by way of the corporate structure in those black businesses, you're more apt to support them. So then it becomes critical to establish a relationship between our thinking and how we think and the businesses that we control, such that when we set up these corporate structures, we basically make them nothing more than pawns in the community, so that the community will basically spend their dollars in those businesses where they have economic relationships with.
Exactly.
I'm sick and tired of singular black business people getting wealthy and then begin to support the system of white supremacy to the detriment of black people. We can name them, John Johnson, Ebony Jett, ad infinitum. Just go down the line. We created many individual black businesses right here in Chicago, brother. Every time there's an election that comes around, and by the way, I voted once in my life, and I'm very proud of that, and that was for Harold Washington. Outside of that, I have no intentions of voting for anyone at any time because I understand the system of white supremacy. But
hey, hold on, brother. You don't believe in dealing with the local elections where you make a bigger difference?
Based on the research, brother, it means absolutely nothing. Let me throw something at you. Have you ever heard of the Council on State Government?
Yeah.
Now, if you understand the Council on State Government, then you know that they already have the next governmental apparatus in place that they're cementing around the country to, in fact, replace the current government system. So if you understand that, why would you support this one when you know the other one is right around the corner that's going to be much more injurious to black people?
Okay, so knowing that, what form of government would you teach the youth?
I just laid it out. We need to set up corporate structures where we can manipulate the system of white supremacy, okay, because the system runs on, as Young God said, currency. So you must be able to educate the young people that having cash flow doesn't necessarily mean that you can control your flow. What it merely means is it gives you options. And you need to be able to have options within the system of white supremacy where you can pit them against each other by using their energy flow, currency, to keep them tied up in knots. That's part of the art of war.
Exactly. And I got something to back that up. We can even just look at when you were talking about the election and voting, we can look at with Bush. And we can look at what happened when Bush got, when he first got in office and the ballots came up missing. And, you know, and all of a sudden in one of those states, you know, they say the ballots came up missing and things was wrong. All that is tampered with. So what I was saying was, you know, with the way the system is built up, this is the only way that things can work in order to keep the parasite alive. That's why anything that we go against, they gonna start to go against us when we start to go against them. That's why we have to look at strategies that are real strategic. That's why a lot of us, we can't be looking for no real big change. When they said the revolution would not be televised, the next revolution is gonna have to be a secretive revolution. Like Brother Robert was saying, we have to work, we have to, you know, trick and scheme. Just like they trick and schemed on us, we have to trick and scheme on them. We have to look for strategies that's going to actually work. And our soldiers that's going to fight the war, that's going to help us, is going to be our youth. And that's why we have to grasp our youth now.
That is correct. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, brother. And it's just amazing to me. You know, sometimes we think that this system is accommodating to us. We exist right now in one of the most dangerous social paradigms that I've seen in my almost 60 years on this planet. In that the war or the fight now is primarily based on frequency. So we term it frequency war. It's no accident, brother, in St. Louis, I bet if you turn on your radio, the vast majority of black people talking is coming from the low end of the dial. That's where the extremely low frequencies exist. The science has pointed out that you can, in fact, alter people's minds using these extremely low frequencies. Brother, you know, Chef Rob, I've talked about the blue flashing lights.
Right.
Man, let me tell you something, brother. It's like trying to pull teeth out of hen to get some of the older people to understand that the blue flashing lights are used to alter behavior. They act like it don't exist when it comes from black people. Now, when it comes from white people, they're out here hollering and screaming. I just had a recent incident, brother, where I've been talking about SSRIs, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, and pointing out that the white people saying, along with black scholars, that serotonin is in fact the gateway to the fifth dimension of pure light. And we pointed out that much of why you see the frequency wars occurring is to keep African people vibrating on a third, in the third dimension. That's why everything is being produced now in 3D. And that the SSRIs are drugs given to the young people at the age of 5 now to basically alter their minds. These are mind-altering drugs that basically prevent them from becoming the spiritual essence, which they are, in fact, part and parcel of in terms of the age that we live in today. So when you try to tell the black people this, particularly those who exist extremely low frequency, of which many of our elders exist at extremely low frequency levels, but just like our young people. So it becomes a hell of a task, brother, to try to tell black people about the things that are going on that they can't see, because the wars that are being fought today aren't being fought with weapons. These are wars that are being fought on a realm that you can't see. You've got to feel it. And that's why in the hip-hop community, I don't know if they knew it, but they came up with the phrase, "You feel me." That is a spiritual connotation, meaning if I'm vibing with you, if my vibration is the same as yours, then I'm going to feel you. If it's not, I ain't feeling you. You understand what I'm saying? So that's where the fight is, brother. The fight is elevating the consciousness of the people by setting up economic structures where we make education a part of their job. And they will love this, because this education will empower them at the spiritual level, which is the thing that's been missing from the African perspective. It is now starting to bubble up. It's being given names like consciousness. This is all you hear now, consciousness. That is a spiritual vibration that comes with the access of knowledge. That's why Young God said earlier, a people perish for lack of it. When you become knowledgeable, you become enlightened. And as I've told you before, Chef, you become Illuminati, because Illuminati started in Kemet. The enlightened people were the masters, the Jedi, the masters of the net. These are names that they refer to themselves as. So we got to understand that, yeah, we need to take full control of our community economically, and we can therefore not only influence our youth, but we can influence our elders, and more importantly, we can tie the system of white supremacy in knots, because that's the one thing that they're not expecting us to do. And let me add this, just to throw this out here. I think that we need to exercise our mouths far less. This is why I don't do much talk radio anymore. We need to exercise our mouths much less than we do the other things, the other appendages that we have two of, like our ears and our eyes. We need to use those twice as much as our mouths. That's why we got two of them. But the thing that we have one of, be it our sexual organs or our mouth, we tend to want to use that to announce who and what we are more than our brain, which we have one of, our mouth, which we have one of, but we need to use those things that we have two of more than the things that we have one of.
Exactly.
I'm advocating, brother, that we move in silence like ninjas. That's what we need to do. And we need to stop telling these people everything that we're going to do before we do it.
Exactly.
We need to just a group of us, which is what I'm doing right now, even with Chef Rob, and he'll tell you, we need to move in a stealth-like manner, and let's just get it done.
Exactly, exactly. And that's kind of where I'm at too, you know, and moving, you know, strategically, you know, being able to do things in secrecy and begin to plan some things and begin to not only plan these things, but actually implement the plans that we come up with, you know, because a lot of us, we get caught up in just planning. We stop right there. We don't ever go past that point because we don't have the will to do so. But, you know, going past that point of planning and actually putting things into action, you know, a lot of us, you know, we became comfortable with intellectually measuring our, you know, penises. That's what we do a lot. We intellectually measure our penises. We come and we talk
to
information and, you know, we try to say the best words that we can. But at the end of the day, after we get done even with Blog Talk and after we get done, you know, after we get done doing our lectures, we're in the same position that we're in because we are caught at talking. We haven't found a way to turn mind into matter. We think things, but we don't know how to turn those things into reality. We have to start beginning to not only think these things, but begin to turn these things into reality. And we also have to get back in touch with our spiritual self. A lot of us have totally forgot about the ancestors. We don't give thanks to them. We don't communicate with them. We have totally forgot about our spiritual guides that are given to us to help us. And that's why a lot of us are lacking right now because we haven't made that connection to that. We don't give thanks to the essence of everything that is. We don't do rituals anymore. We don't sit down and talk to ourselves. A lot of us pray, but we don't meditate after praying. Praying
that's
is
right.
talking to the Creator, but meditating is actually receiving. A lot of us pray and we get right up and we plan to all the wrong things. We're doing all
that's
the
right.
wrong things. One thing I'm going to keep saying is, a lot of us, we need to stop getting this big change thing out of our mind. I know a lot of us want to see this, but we have to start where we at. We have to start exactly where we at. A lot of us, we
That's
got
right.
big dreams to do with things, but we're not doing nothing in our community to make a change. We can't even stop. We talk about the violence in the community, but we ride past the 10 or 12 young brothers that stand up on the corner every day. We don't go sit and talk to them. We don't see how can we make a change. A lot of us, you know, we work nice jobs. A lot of us, instead of going to get that new couch, instead of going to get the new iPhone, why don't you take that money and put it into a program for you? Why don't you take that money and put it into something positive that you can do into the community? We waste money on things. We waste our currency, so we're wasting our energy. Money is actually your energy. You know, a lot of us talking about getting rid of the dollar, but if we get rid of the dollar, we're going to be begging for it back in the next week because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to deal with money. We don't know how to deal with currency. So we got to get these things back. We got to get in tune with our spiritual self, get in tune back with our economical self and learn how to use these things as tools to get to where we need to go. Because just like we planning, they planning. You know, so we have
years
to be
in advance.
Years in advance. So we have to be diligent in what we're doing, and we have to stop just talking. I like the blog talks, and I tell people I like doing lectures, and that's all fine and dead. But after I get done, and everybody get all housed information, and we leave the conversation feeling like we actually done something, what actually changes? This is the things that I look at. What changes? I mean, having thoughts and listen to Bobby and I listen to Phil and Umar Johnson and Brother Polite and all these, you know, good lecturers. But after we leave these lectures, what happens? What action is put in place? What things are people doing? Because a lot of us, we come to these things and we come just for entertainment. We want to be entertained. A lot of us don't want to feel like we're going crazy with the consciousness, so we need somebody else to validate what we're thinking. And that's what's going on right now. Instead of actually putting action, and a lot of us are just happy with being entertained. Oh, that sounded real good. We sound like we're going to get out this position. But we're not working hard to do that. The people that have the power, the people that have the will to do it, we have to be dedicated to doing it right now. And that's what I'm doing.
That's right.
That's why I'm always going to advocate for programs for you. I'm always going to advocate for hobbies for you and for jobs for you. Because if we're not talking about actually doing, putting something into place, yeah, we're just talking. We're not gonna ever make moves. I'm gonna go back to my analogy, and I'm gonna let somebody else speak. But I'm gonna go back to my analogy of using the brothers, you know, who go into war, The brothers who go into war, before they go into war, they sit down and talk, just like we're doing right now. They sit down and they talk about their strategy. Actually, they write it out and they figure out, okay, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do. After they sit down and talk with their strategy, they just don't get up and leave everything alone. They start working on it. They start doing things to help, you know, to help cater towards their strategy. This is what we have to do. We have to start working on it. We have to start sitting down with each other. We have to start actually going through and being diligent with some of the things that we do, and this is how we're going to see change. Like your brother was just saying, stop giving up all our strategies, you know, to the end. We come on YouTube and we talk about, well, what do we need to be doing? As soon as we say we need to be doing it, they look at it and they start implementing the same thing that we said that we was going to do. So we have to stop giving up our strategies and start coming up with strategies that's going to help each other to make moves. So like I say, nobody's going to do it by themselves. No one person is going to do it. It's going to take a task for people to come together and to make change. And not no big change, but make change where you at, you know?
You know what,
well, brother,
make
sure you leave some contact information, because I got some people I need to introduce you to who are doing just that. You too, Chief. You and I, Brother Chef, you and I are going to get together here real soon, because I need to introduce you to some people who are already starting the process of making it happen.
Yeah, I'm going to get with you. I'll give you a call later because I'll tell you what I'm doing on the west side. But I see how people is like this. I see some of these people run around. It's like that movie Ice Age where you see that squirrel-like character chasing the nut throughout the whole flick.
Right.
And it's like he gets a little bit, he gets it close, he gets away from him. My question is, what does he do when he go ahead and gets that nut? So what do we do when we get these things that we demand? What do we do, where we go from there? What's for the youth? What's the model for our elders and the people in between?
Well, once we get these things, it's just up to keeping them going. That's it. It's just keeping them going and keeping them going in a proper way. You know, I can't, as an individual, I'm not going to sit right here and I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen because we're not doing it yet. But what I can tell you is that we can keep them going. Once we get these things solid, once you get a program going, you have to keep them going. This summer I did a program, and I hooked up with a non-for-profit, you know, because I wanted to do something positive. The program was called Empowering and Awakening the Youth Anti-Violence Forum. And what we did was we took 8 young males and we paid them a stipend pay, and when they came in, they learned, these are just regular young guys off the street. They learned about the music industry and how the music industry caters to some of the negativity that happens. We talked about how a lack of male, the male role models cater to what happened. We talked about several things, and the youth actually left, and they learned something. A lot of the youth, they grew from that. And the objective when we did that was to keep that going. Keep a place where you can come and they can do something positive, and we can continue to push the information inside their mind. That's what we have to do once we get what we have going. We have to keep things going. We have to do things positive and keep the positivity going. That's why the higher power or the Caucasian or whatever, the white people, whatever you want to call them, that's why they are still in control right now, because the difference between us and them is we talking about how we're going to get things going, and they talking about how they're going to keep things going. So we have to go in the same strategy that we go in. We have to keep up. We just can't start it and let it fail. We have to keep things going. We have to keep the wheel, keep the drive. And the only thing that's going to allow us to keep that is thinking about the younger generation. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the generations that come from under, that come under us. We might not never see it change. It might be the younger generations that's just being born now that might see the change that we implemented. But we have to implement the change first. We have to put things in place before we can talk about what we're going to do after that.
Bringing that change real fast, it is possible and feasible that we can go ahead and approach the youth. So we don't have to go ahead and hear the stories that we hear like we hear in Chicago.
Exactly. And I think and what we need to do is we have to get out there. Me and Brother Cass did something called Occupy the Hood this summer. And what we did was we went in some of the most worst neighborhoods, and we stood on the corners and we talked to young cats, we talked to drug dealers, we talked to gangs. gangbangers, and we got out there with the information. We set up exhibits of our history and our culture. We played music, support our history and our culture. We burned incense. We burned candles. We brought the mic out there, and we got out there in front of the people. And what that did was, that showed that it is people out here that care. What we started the I Care movement. And what it is about is it's about people that care. If you care enough, then just give some of your time towards the people. A lot of us, we don't want to give no time. We don't want to give our money, and we don't want to give our strength. We keep that held back, but like the brother was just saying, we give our opinions through our mouth. We can talk all day. But when it comes to actually putting in action, when we get done talking and I say, well, brother, well, let's meet up this and then we're going to meet up and do this, then our people, you know, they kind of standing back now. Oh, I got to work today. You know, these are the things that we begin to hear when action begin to come in play. People don't really want to get out. So a lot of us, we talk a good game, but we don't really want to put in action because we scared. Like I say, we monkey see, monkey do. We want to see the next person doing it. And maybe if I see the next person doing it, then I can do it. A lot of us, we want to do something that has never been done. Black people haven't been liberated out of the situation they have been. We've been in this situation for the last past 2,000 years, and we haven't been liberated. So in order to liberate black people, that's going to be something that's never happened before. So we're going to have to think like people never thought before. We're going to have to do that's things right. that people never did before. We have to be willing to give our time. And this is one thing that we're not willing to give. A lot of us, we don't even want to sit down and we can't even sit down and get a good meeting together because somebody's not going to come. We can't, a lot of brothers can't even sit down and bring $20 together and say this is what we're going to do. Bring $20 together and say this is what we're going to do. And within 10 minutes, there's going to be a big argument about what we're going to do with $20. And that same $20 we take and we go spend at the gas station on gas with the air, so we go spend at the store, at the grocery store. This is why we can come together, because of petty differences.
That's right.
You know?
Here's one of the excuses that you hear all the time. Black people ain't going to do. And here's what I tell people when I hear that. I almost expect to hear that. I said, why are you worrying about the totality of black people? That shouldn't be your concern. What should be your concern is you put up your $2. Let me deal with the rest of the black people. That's my job, putting up their $2. Don't worry about their $2. Worry about your two. So as long as you put up your two, now you've done your job. And what that basically says is, it's very easy for people who got a lot to give a little. But it's extremely and much more fulfilling when people who have a little give a lot. That's much more important to me. I want the welfare mother to give me the $2. I don't expect, I fully expect for John Johnson to give me 100, because that means nothing to him.
Yeah,
but that $2 that welfare mother gives me means much more to me. And therefore, she should be honored much more than a John Johnson who give up 100 because he really ain't gave up nothing. But what do? We turn around and idolize and lionize the people who give a little when they got a lot. And we basically disrespect the people who give a lot and ain't got but a little. That's totally out of order. Because we got to work on our people from the inside out, brother. The problem ain't the outside in. The problem is from the inside out.
But how do we hold them accountable? Or do we have to hold them accountable? Or
You don't have to worry about it. You don't have... Let me tell you something. Once our people get re-educated, all the rest of this stuff will take care of itself. We won't have to worry about it. That's been my experience, brother, in my 30 years of being out here involved in this thing that we call the movement. I've had to challenge some very high-profile people and got the scars to prove it. Didn't back down one iota. Would tell them that we could either debate or dialogue. I'm not, you know, too careful about either one. If you're going to debate me, I'm going to try to tear you to shreds if you're the opposition. Because as brother said, this is a war. And there's no more powerful tool in the art of war, check it,
than propaganda.
Yep.
So, and that's what debate is. Debate allows you the opportunity to espouse a propagandistic point. And that's what we are victims of today, brother. We are victims of the most powerful tool in the arsenal of war, and that is propaganda.
So getting control of that media message means a whole lot.
Brother, we must put in place our own media apparatus. Because, again,
that's one thing you can go around the country. Let me say
this.
That's one thing I keep trying to tell these blog talk people. They need to create their own network instead of going ahead and going at each other. Schedule their shows where they keep their message going 24 hours a day because they beat us down with the message 24 hours a day. I mean, it's not that hard. You may not agree with the next show, but y'all basically on the same page. So I just don't understand the animosity in the fight.
Well, I tried to stay out of those things, brother.
The animosity comes in when the person want to be in control of everything. A lot of us are not comfortable with the positions that we are given. Everybody on the basketball court, I'm going to use this as an analogy, everybody can't be a point guard. Everybody has to play their part. I can't be a small forward and be mad because I'm not a point guard and I'm playing in a certain position. This is what's wrong with us. A lot of us don't know how to play our proper positions right. We want to be out front. We want to be on the top. We want to be a sergeant. We want to be calling the shots. We want this to be our show and this to be our stuff. And that's what's wrong with us. A lot of us don't know how to just fall in line. Everybody can't lead. It's not for that. It was meant for that to be leaders and meant for that to be followers. So a lot of us, we just got to understand it and be comfortable with the position that we're in, you know, and that stop the fight. You know, we're fighting, a lot of us fighting over jealousy. You know, I see that in the conscious community, you got Brother Polite, the baby Seti over is the black woman God and all this stupid stuff that don't mean nothing. This is making us lose track of the real thing that we're supposed to be doing right now because of all this petty debating, all this petty, you know, getting into it with each other, you know. And it's crazy that this stuff is going on, but this is making us lose track of all these things, the negativity that's being, and the energy that's being put into things that don't really mean nothing.
That's right.
You know?
I thought that was really sad, brother.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible that the brothers was going at it like that, and it was terrible that the brothers would even allow the people to see that.
That's right.
You know? Yeah, I never saw Bobby and Steel go at it. I never saw Dr. Ben Dr. Henry go at it. I never saw nobody go at it like that, you know? And this is what's going on, you know, after our brothers going, and they're giving consciousness a bad name, you know, that people seeing that. If I was a regular person and I didn't know what consciousness was and I'm just coming in, these brothers look like they finna fight. If I wasn't the person who knew what was really going on. You know, and now, like, it's crazy that the brothers say that the people are going as over blog talk now, huh? That's terrible.
That's why, brother, I agree with you 1,000%. And that's why, you know, over the years, I've made it my business to stay out of the media. Because one of the things I tell people, and now I don't care if it's controlled by other people, it's still, you know, to a large degree, their media. Because if they can control the access, that means they can dictate whether you're on the air or off.
Exactly.
We got to be clear about that. So what I've tried to do over the years is to stay at the very ground level because I tell them, you can keep me off the air, but you can't keep me out of it. That's the spiritual connotation. So I'm more interested in being in the air than being on the air.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just, I don't know, brother. And I've heard the things in the conscious community as well, and it's really disturbing. But I said on the sister's program a couple of years ago that this is what was going to happen. It's a logical extension of, as you say, a pissing contest. It's a logical extension to that. And we need to just really stop it because, as I said, Brother Polite is brilliant from my estimation, and so is Brother Seti. But both of them are brilliant in their own rights. One needs to accede to the other, and the other needs to accede to the prior, meaning SETI is a general. We need to put him in, as the head of the Defense Department. Okay? Brother Polite is good at coming up with different concepts to deal with economics. We need to make him the head of the Economic Department. Young God is good with the young people and explaining to them why it's necessary to even listen to a Brother Polite and a Brother SETI. So we need to make him the Minister of Propaganda. These are things that have to be done for the next generation to, in fact, become what they're supposed to be and to be able to stay in those various lanes, in other words, be separate yet remain apart, a part of the whole. That's what's been missing, brother. And again, that corporate structure or the Council of Elders is what allows for that to manifest itself.
Hey, brother, I'm going to take 1 second off. I'm going to call right back in.
Ken, your line is open.
Yes, sir. How you guys doing this evening?
Hold up, brother.
All right. Again, I just barely caught the end of it. I had a couple of things to attend to, but I'm glad to join you all this evening.
Okay. What we were basically were addressing was the relationship between the youth and the young God was going in. He's got a few problems with his phone. I wish you had heard it from the beginning, but he was going ahead and giving his pretty much his perspective on it because he's a brother. He's like under 20. So he was giving the way he's seen things, and then Brother Robert X called in and gave his perspective from an elder standpoint. So what do you feel that I'm going to go ahead and say disconnect, okay, because I think there is. Do you also feel or do you not feel that there's a disconnect between the youth and the elders in the black community?
Oh, absolutely. There's a middle ground, a whole missing link that is no longer there, you know, because it seems as though the structure of our families have been watered down for so long. This is the generation that suffers, you know, from that. You know, there's a disconnect. And if you go back, you really just have to ask an elder of a tribe, how were you taught to respect your elders? How were you taught to maintain your family name, your morals and values? There's somebody around to teach them that.
That's right.
You know, there's a strong figure in there, a grandfather, an uncle, a dad, you know, an older cousin, somebody, and even if you did not have those things, there's a whole generation of people that believe that, you know, there is a village that has to be involved in raising a child. So a lot of times, although you had a single mom, you shouldn't have any excuses as to why you don't understand this or why this means nothing to you.
Yeah, we're pretty much transient, brother. That's what we are.
Mm-hmm.
The village
transient.
Is a transient village. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And
I
that
have to
no one has roots in the village because the people
mm-hmm.
are constantly moving. They're in transit.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I was offended when I was at an apartment complex with a lot of the black and brown people, a lot of black and brown families, and when it came time to discussing the taxes for that property, you know, at the meeting, I'm sure everybody kind of snapped because we were considered transient families, you know, not wanting to be here long enough to even pay a tax. And what got me was I didn't understand that word in its entirety until I really just had to put it into perspective. And you are absolutely right.
So the village has to be reconfigured, if you will,
mm-hmm.
because
I agree.
The village no longer exists. So we've got to create these villages around a very firm foundation because that's what the village was. The elders were the foundation of the village.
Exactly. The roots.
That's
no
longer the case. Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
I got a question, though, and I want everybody to chime in. Brother Ken, you just came in, so let me come at you. So, you know, just deal with just what Brother Robert X said. How do you reconfigure the village? Do you go with that old school African thing, or you go ahead and go with new school, or you go ahead and just make it a combination of all?
I'm glad you said that. The resolution, because a lot of people will beat you with a problem, but won't nobody come up with a resolution. And I'm glad that you said that. I think personally, I'm speaking for myself, the resolution are, you know, the values that are in a community, you have to keep them in a community, whether people move around or not. You know, you have to keep the common denominator. You got to keep the values within the family structure and just keep reemphasizing them, and then you will get some repetition in regards to that. But, you know, every third family in a neighborhood trying to, you know, do the right thing is not going to do it.
That is correct. You see, that's why I say it, that if we put in place these corporate structures, to me it means absolutely nothing unless we can take one of them 5 work days, if the young people are going to work in these businesses that they basically run. We need to have them to take one day off where we have them to attend a classroom setting and pay them as that being their 5th day of work, where we begin to reorient the mindset from a respect each other standpoint based on your history and, more importantly, based on your spiritual essence, which revolves around your history.
Well,
so I think if we do it like that, we may have a chance to get out of this mess and reestablish or reorient the community setting.
Well, brother, when you're talking about changing the corporate work week, again, like any business, the first question is, how am I going to capitalize from this? Corporations don't care about communities. They poison our communities constantly in just search of profit. So how would you make community involvement seem profitable or attractive to a corporation?
Very easy. Let's just say that within a 2-mile stretch, we've got 40 businesses all controlled by people outside of our community. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say the average one of them businesses employs 6 employees, because that's what we see in the Arab or Asian businesses in our community, 5 to 6 employees, no more. Let's say that we begin to organize our people towards these corporate structures where our people in the neighborhoods where we open up the businesses are, in fact, shareholders in those corporate structures. Now, those Arabs and Asians begin to see a drop-off in their businesses because now our people are shopping in the businesses that they open up in their communities because the money is recirculating. So it basically solves a myriad of problems. You've got the money recirculating in your community more than once because now those business entities are in control. You're in control of them. Let's say that we've got 6 employees in the business. On Friday, all the 6 ain't going to work at the same time. On Friday, we will make it and pay them just like they're working, right? Because we're not setting up corporate structures based on the example of the corporate structures that exist out here today, which are predatory in nature. We're not talking about setting up corporate structures to be predatory. Even though we know the bottom line is profit. We are making profit, but we are making progress as well, so that we'll pay them to attend these settings where we set up through 501c3 apparatuses, the institutions necessary to begin the process of reorienting the thinking of our people. And once they gain the knowledge of, let's just say, let's take melanin and all the properties of melanin, which is off the chain. Once our people become aware of these things, brother, there's no way, I've seen it already, that the mindset of our people would not change. It's inconceivable that the mindset would not change. Many of our people are stuck on stupid, for lack of a better word, because they don't understand the powers that's latent within. So what do? They worship the powers that are given to them that are outside of them. In the area of entertainment, they're called stars.
Mm-hmm.
What they really want to get you to adhere to a particular point of view or a particular paradigm, they call them super stars.
basically tying them to the cosmos. What we want to do is to tell our people what a star is and why these people align people that they want you to worship outside of yourself. Why do they call them stars? Why is the relationship between the cosmos and people of influence so prevalent? So, and we can show them that the people who are terming these people stars and superstars are in fact perpetrating a fraud in terms of them basically gaining control of your history, claiming to be what you are. And that's why you're always targeted, because other people understand the power that you have within you. They've studied us ad infinitum. We don't understand the powers that's latent within us. So as young God was saying, we'll sit down and pray to things outside of us, but do very little meditating on things that are inside of us. That's the difference between prayer and meditation. Meditation deals with things that go on within. Prayer is asking for something to go on without. So we're good at prayer, but we are very poor at meditation. And that's why our ancestors don't hear us, because we don't call on them.
Wow. Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you, brother. But no, brother.
That was resonating through the phone right there.
Well, bro, that's called vibration. That's what I mean about, you know, when people hear the real, it ain't hard to tell because you vibrate with it. It's the same with the young people out here. They know the fake from the real, and they used to say it in hip-hop. That's what I tell people. If you understand why hip-hop is being done or being spoken in metaphors, you got to understand metaphors was the earlier language, and the science has proven that the brain reacts differently to metaphors than it does with straight language, because metaphors make the brain think. So hip-hop is in order. The dialogue in the hip-hop is out of order.
I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely.
Okay, hold on a minute. Young God dropped off. Brother Pee Wee, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Rob.
What's up, man? What you think about
what's
what
up,
you
bro?
Heard? You've been silent the whole time.
Yeah, I know. I've been, you know, it's a real interesting conversation. I mean, I agree with a lot that was already said, especially with the hip-hop thing, because hip-hop's so basic right now. It's like, you know, anybody can understand it, even 3-0, but...
And that's about where the age group is targeted, it seems like.
Yeah, truthfully. Like, it's all young music now, but none of it can make you think, so...
She gives me money when I'm in need. I'm impregnating a gold digger because I want to be a house nigger. She gives me money.
Right.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry, bro. I couldn't resist that, brother, to see this brother fall the way he's fallen, and he thinking he's ascending, but he's really descending.
Oh, are you talking about the local brother?
Kanye. Talking about
yes, sir.
Yeah. Man, I was. Yeah. You know what? I wanted to play that clip of where he was standing because I was going to ask a question. Like when he stood up there after Hurricane Katrina and said, hey, look, George Bush, don't care about black people. He made some other comments, but at the end. And then I watched that clip. It's on YouTube. Then I watched how they hurry up and cut the camera off for him and put it on Chris Rock. Well, my question is, what happened to this cat? And why these cats are always out here in front of the goddamn camera going ahead talking about our problems, but I don't see them no fucking more. What he said, he should have been the number one fucking person right there saying, let's do something. Instead of coming on TV after that, you didn't hear no more else about him discussing the issue. He should have established some stuff right there. I keep going ahead and saying that all these cats are fucking profiting off our pain, poverty pimps. I don't make shit.
Well, can I make a distinction when you use the expression poverty pimps? I lived in Monroe and went to volunteer during those two hurricanes. Let me tell you something that standard that was cool then, and I think it should be acknowledged now. Almost every African American movie star, actor, singer, whatever that came out there for approximately 1 week.
Exactly.
The 1 week, the smell of rotting flesh drove everyone home. But you will see Sean Penn, Dan Aykroyd, the Jolie Pitts have actually taken up roots down in the neighborhood, bought property,
right,
and are actually out there cleaning and painting themselves. And this is what disturbs me. These are accomplished thespians or singers or whatever that are of another race that have taken the opportunity to move down there and help full time. Now, again, I have issue with a lot of people that jump up at a hurricane or flood or fire, jump up in front of the camera. As soon as the camera's gone, they're gone.
They're gone. That's my thing. That's what I'm saying. You know, and I was looking, and then I added to it, and I was thinking about it. I was like, they can go ahead and talk about how much they're going to give back to the community, but these motherfuckers go ahead and come around turkey time and Christmas, giving out all that shit. Hell, I got people calling me right now telling me, boy, come get these damn turkeys. You know how many I got in the freezer? I mean, we didn't help.
You know, that's all because of the tax write-off, too, so they get the money.
Right. That's why they're around. My point is, they don't give a shit about what's going on. They don't give a shit about what's going on. They will go ahead and keep their name out there. And that's another reason that people don't really attack him in the street, because all day he gave me a turkey. And they all full of shit.
Well, in regards to the local brother, if you look at some of his demographics, I happened to look at him about a week ago. I thought it was funny. I thought it was like one of those college humor jokes. But I guess it's real. But most of his fan base is female, and I think
yes.
Well, we'll see how popular he is come his next album.
And if you look at him, he seems to be moving towards the female genre himself. And
you see them skinny jeans.
Make believe kilt. You know, some people call it a dress. You know, and
from the west side of Scotland.
Yeah.
People from the west side of Scotland.
But you know, I look at it a little different in that I'm very clear, historically speaking, that the entertainers, the celebrities, aren't the initiators. They will generally come on board once they see things moving in a particular direction across the board. And so it becomes paramount on us to organize in some fashion where we have numbers that will make them. This is what happened in the 60s with James Brown and some of the other entertainers. You can go up to the 80s with Stephanie Mills when we were out there hollering and screaming about ending apartheid. And, you know, the white people was basically getting black entertainers to go and give benefit concerts for the white people. And so we said no. And, brother, if you will look at many of the events that have transpired, we've had to basically stop the entertainers from participating in things that were deleterious to African people. We've had to pull their coats to let them know you out of order. You can go to Cincinnati with the situation with police brutality down there. You'll find the same thing that happened. I just heard that somebody pulled out a concert for raising X number of millions of dollars for the Israeli Defense Forces. They went and got another black entertainer to, in fact, participate in raising millions of dollars for the Israeli Defense Forces.
Man, so who did I... Man, I seen something like that. That ain't the first time, man. They've been doing it for a while.
That's what I'm saying, brother. This is historical. So we have to do our part on our level to inspire or make them do the things that they need to do in concerning the elevation of African people. But they're not going to do it when they don't see any apparatus out there. Because, brother, how come they ain't no poverty aid concert tour? Where all the rappers who can do those same write-offs.
Hey, check it out. How come ain't no hood aid fucking tours, man? How come just to go? That's disaster areas in itself.
Exactly.
Inglewood the other day, man. That shit it worse from the day before.
Yes, sir. But what that says is we need to be about the business of basically making that that whisper a scream. And that's what social media can do. We need to be about the business of saying, where's the aid, the live concerts to aid in the poverty that inflict African people from coast to coast? And once you get a group of young people who are connected and can push that particular genre in social media, they will be forced to respond.
A lot of people, a lot of the elders are listening to the youth. And just like Young God was trying to say that, hey, look, there's a lot of people, a lot of these young people want to go ahead and hear what's happening. They want to know what's going on. But we still got that small element of people in the community that just really out and out hate the kids. We can't
deny
that.
Brother, we can't. Let me tell you something. As I told you before, brother, negative force and positive force are equal forces in the universe. You're going to have that. But one of the things we must do is not allow the negative forces to override the positive forces. We got to stay on a positive level no matter what's going on around us. I know it's difficult. I'm not saying it's not difficult. But the only thing, the only force that will combat a negative force is a positive force. So we still got to be positive in the face of all that's going on around us. Otherwise, we can throw our hands up and just forget about it.
Oh, can't do that. Yeah, we had 2 men before us go ahead and do something like that, and look at where we're at now.
Exactly.
It's time to fight back. Can't keep on sitting on your hands or go ahead and turning your back. Because I always say, when you go ahead and see them doing this, doing something to somebody look like you, you just count the minutes before they start doing this to you.
That's right.
So, brothers, we ain't got much time. Go down here. I'm going to come back to you, Brother Justin. Why don't you go ahead and give me some final thoughts on what you heard and how you feel. Give me a brief solution on what you think we should be doing.
I don't know, man. It's hard to tell, man. I think we should be trying to, basically what was talked about is we need 100% cooperation from all people. I mean, all our own people, but it's something that ain't, like you said, something that ain't never been done, so it's going to be a real hard thing to do, but, I mean, same time, I think anything's possible. So, my bad, I'm losing my train of thought over here.
That's okay. Brother Kent, go ahead and help him out.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, again, from just what I've surmised is, now that we've drawn a clear line between the young and the wise, I think it's just best to try to connect those by making sure that we're diligent in communicating what these issues are and trying to get everyone involved. Essentially, very good ideas, very good feedback. But again, now what? You got to move forward. Who are you going to contact? If I challenge everybody to contact 10 people tomorrow, try to make something different happen.
That's right.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for that. Brother Robert X?
Yes, sir. I'm with you, Chef.
yeah.
I'm for bringing folks who want to eat the barbecue ribs on board. I ain't against them. They ain't my enemy. We need to teach them about the properties of barbecue ribs and let them decide for themselves, because I'm clear that symbols are powerful. They are very powerful. I'm moving with a group of people right now who are doing just what I'm talking, okay? And you'll be hearing about it real soon. The building is already in place. It's a 3-story edifice that can house a lot of different stuff. So my thing is to commit the rest of my life, no matter what it costs, even if that means jail time, I'm fully prepared to give that, because there ain't nothing more important to me on this planet in the elevation of African people wherever we are, wherever they are. I want to meet them wherever they are, period. That's it, brother. No more, no less. I ain't looking for accolades or dollars. That means nothing to me. I'm looking for our people to work in a unified manner toward the upward mobility of African people wherever we are on the planet. Period. Paragraph. And ain't no more than that.
I get you. I'm with that. All right, brothers, that's my show. I'm going to get in touch with each one of you in the morning because there's something else I need to talk about each one of you individually. You go. You guys be safe. And that's my show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a good evening.